Let's go again to God in prayer. Holy Father, we come before You and thank You for Your grace and mercy. Thank You for watching over and keeping us by Your power. We do pray that You would bless us as we continue in this worship and help us, Father, to honor and glorify You and magnify Thy grace and mercy. We thank You that Your work is perfect. We thank You that You are God of all power and all wise. There's nothing that was overlooked in our salvation. And we thank You that someday it will all be brought to fruition. Till then, sustain us, keep us, and guide us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In this prayer in Ephesians of the Apostle Paul, notice that he says, verse 16, that he ceased not to give thanks for the saints, making mention of them in his prayers, or in my prayers. Paul did not have one set time for prayer, but he prayed on many occasions. And in his prayers, he continually remembered the Ephesian saints. Now, what we need to keep in mind that we should not read into this verse more than we should. Paul is not saying here that he prayed for them every time he prayed. Equally, when he said that he did not cease to pray for them, it did not mean that he, in other words, he continued to pray for them. It didn't mean that he prayed for them each and every time and every day and every occasion. Because in our scripture reading in Philippians chapter 1, Paul is praying a prayer there. And he said to the Philippians, verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Well, now, Paul didn't mention the Philippians in Ephesians, did he? And yet he prayed in Ephesians for the saints. Nor did he mention the Ephesians in his prayer when he was mentioning that in Philippians. And we could say the same thing about Colossians. In fact, we're going to look at some of these verses. But what I want to bring to our attention that sometimes preachers may be preaching on prayer and using a verse like this, and if he's not careful and if he does not rightly divide the word of truth, then he will leave the impression that you ought to pray for everybody and everything in every prayer that you pray, and that you ought to spend every idle moment in prayer. And that's just not the case. Now, I do not want to say by that and lead and give us any reason to justify ourselves in our lack of prayer either. You know, we have to keep a good balance in that. And so But when Paul said that he made mention of them in his prayers, it's not saying that every time he prayed for the Ephesians. Or that every time he prayed for the Colossians, or the Philippians, or the Thessalonians, or any other group or any other individual. But that on a, and we'll see this, like we say, we're going to look at many passages, but what it's saying is that in his prayers, as he prays, he continues to mention the Ephesians from time to time. And he's still praying for them up to that day. And he's praying for the Colossians. In other words, if I were to say that I am continually praying for you, I'm not meaning by that, and I don't want anyone to get the idea by that, that every time I pray, I mention you. Or that I am always praying either. You know, you don't need to get that in mind. But that in my prayers, as I am praying, I may pray this for on this occasion, I may pray on that occasion, I may pray in the morning, I may pray at night, I may pray riding down the road, I may pray. In other words, all my different kinds of prayers, at various times, I'm still mentioning you. You know, I talked about this morning that sometimes in my morning prayer when I sit down to eat, and I usually try to just pray more for than just for the food. I try to remember various people and try to remember various things when I pray. And sometimes if I'm not careful, I'm sitting there trying to figure out who all I should pray for instead of thinking about the God to whom I'm praying. And yet you're trying to, you're on a schedule. You've gotten up and you've taken your bath. You've put on your fresh clothes for the day. You've fixed your lunch. You've fixed your breakfast. And, you're trying to get out the door at a decent hour. And you know that if you're maybe 5 minutes later than normal, you'll run into more traffic than you would otherwise. Or if you're 5 minutes ahead of time, you might run into more traffic. And, you know, you kind of, I kind of work on a schedule myself. I work good on a schedule. I don't know that I work good. Well, I work better on a schedule. I don't know that, wouldn't say that I always work good. But anyway, I work better on a schedule than I do just haphazardly. And so, you know, I've kind of got everything down to a fine art. I've heard of other men. Sometimes men will be in the habit of fixing their breakfast, fixing their lunch before they go to work. And sometimes the wife will come in there and try to help them. And the wife has good intentions, wanting to help and so on. And nothing wrong with that and good. But the man, you know, he's got his routine down and you're messing up my routine and I can't get anything done. And so, you know, we get into that situation sometimes. And so, but anyway, I wouldn't say, you know, I pray for the congregation here and many times I mention you during breakfast time and sometimes I don't. And sometimes I'm going down the road and I think about, well, I didn't pray for you earlier and I pray for you then. And then sometimes I may not even think about you all day long. You know? But that doesn't mean that I haven't quit thinking about you. And sometimes you come across my mind and I think about things and I don't even pray for you at all. I just think about your situation and who you are and what you're going through and what you may be battling against and things of that nature. So I said all of that to say, this is all Paul is saying. I pray for you. I continue to pray for you. I haven't quit praying for you, but that doesn't mean that he prayed for them each and every time in every way. And so sometimes preachers will take liberty with such passages like that and make the congregation feel like a heel, because they're not praying for everybody all the time. And that maybe they haven't prayed for every member of their church each and every week. We could do that here. But some congregations would maybe run into a trouble trying to do that. And so on. And so you have to remember that different people have different schedules too. A mother with a bunch of young children doesn't have the schedule that others do. I remember years ago, a couple of young sisters were somewhat downcast because there were a couple of older ladies in the congregation, and one of the ladies happened to be the mother of one of these sisters. But these two older ladies were always visiting different people in the congregation and were always out and helping and doing things. And these younger sisters were taken aback that they just couldn't do that. And I told them, I said, listen, you've got several children. And each one of these sisters had more than one. I think they had more than three at that time. But anyway, I said, you've got your hands full. I said, these older ladies weren't doing that when they were young. They had to stay home and take care of their children. They had to stay home and take care of you. And so I said, now when you get older and your children are out of the house, then you'll have more opportunity to do things like that. And so we have to realize that everybody can't do everything that everybody else does. And even though everyone should pray, everyone does not have the same schedule and the same times and the time on their hands to pray. And so we need to keep that all in mind too. Now let's look at some passages regarding Paul's prayer life and his work in the ministry. Basically around the prayer life. And let's go back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Now, I don't doubt but what Paul was a praying machine. But he was still human. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Now, if we only had that one verse of Scripture, we might think that Paul, and of course we've already introduced you to some, but we might think that Paul, every time that he prayed, he always prayed for the saints at Rome. But he didn't when he prayed for the Ephesian saints, did he? Nor the Colossian saints. Well, we haven't read that one in Colossians yet. Nor the Philippian saints. Now, let's say that he did. He prayed for the saints at Rome. He prayed for the church at Ephesus. He prayed for the saints and the church at Corinth. He prayed for the churches at Galatia. He prayed for the saints at Philippi. He prayed for those at Thessalonica and so on. And then we go back and we look at all of these verses to see what he prayed for them. unless Paul had a mind of a computer, I don't believe he would keep up with everything. You see what I'm saying? And we cannot read into the Scriptures more than what's there, and we don't want to, like we say, justify ourselves for our own lack of praying many times. But Paul is saying that he is continually praying for the saints at Rome on a regular basis, and that he makes mention of them in his prayers, and he thanks God for them. And he also said in verse 10, making requests, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. He said, I want to see you. See, Paul was in Corinth when he wrote this in Romans. And he said, I want to come to see you, and I'm praying that God will give me a prosperous journey. I remember one year at Grace Chapel, Elder Hunt Sr. held their meeting, and his sermon was on Paul's prosperous journey. Now, think about it for a moment. When Paul went to Rome, and this was before Paul, when Paul was still here at Corinth, but then he wound up back at Jerusalem, he wound up in jail, he wound up in jail in Caesarea, he finally had to appeal to Caesar, and then he went over, they put him on a ship to go to Rome, and the ship out here in the sea, it in the storm, it burst up. He wound up on the island there. And just think of all the things that happened to Paul between being at Corinth and a few years later going to Rome. He got there. He had a prosperous journey, but he had many struggles. See, a prosperous journey might include a few breakdowns on the way. We never know. I just throw that in for whatever it's worth. I always think about that as come across that. But you can see how Paul uses this language of continually praying for the saints. And then bring us back to Philippians, where we read in our scripture reading. I want to read that in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus, and so on. But notice he said, always in every prayer of mine. Paul didn't mention the Philippians in the prayer in Rome, in the book of Romans. He didn't mention the one in Ephesians. But he is, it is a continual habit of Paul to pray for these saints. And then in Colossians chapter 1, we see again, verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is coming to you, and so on. Now, let me say this. I didn't have this in my notes. I'm glad the Lord brought it to my remembrance. Let me say something else that Paul is not saying. He's not saying, Lord, bless all the churches I know about. You know, sometimes people will say, Lord, bless all the preachers that are preaching. And then guy come along and say, well, I've been praying for you, and I've been praying for you, and I've been praying for you. And he never calls any of them by name. Just a generic throw out there. Paul's not doing that either. And sometimes preachers and people will say, well, I pray for God's ministers all the time. And what they're doing is they say, God, bless your ministers. And they may say, you know, Brother Barber, I've been praying for you because I pray for God's ministers. And I've been praying for you. And they never mention my name. Paul's not doing that. In fact, I think that's a... It's good to pray for God's ministers, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that and make general prayers sometimes, because when we're in a congregational or a public way of praying, naturally you would not get as specific as you would in your private prayers. Not everyone necessarily should lead in public prayer. If a person, well, let me rephrase that. When a person leads in public prayer, he should at least speak loud enough that the audience can hear him. You know, sometimes you'll call on somebody to pray in public, and they barely raise their voice, and nobody can hear anything. And therefore, you know, I say, well, I'm praying to God, I'm not praying to you. Well, that's true too. But you're leading us in prayer. And if I can't hear to follow, you're not leading me anywhere. You're leaving me. So there are, I guess for a better word, I don't know, I can't think of a better, there's etiquettes in praying. Especially in public prayer. Now, if you're in private, and there are some things that, you know, you wouldn't necessarily... I think I may mention something in prayers this morning, in closing prayer. I think I may mention of the fact of trying to think of people to pray for, and a lot of names just kept going through my mind. Well, if I kept naming everybody that came to mind, we'd be here maybe a couple of hours. And while you could do that on your own at home, it would not be conducive necessarily to the congregation. You say, well, wouldn't it be good for a congregation to pray 2 hours? Yes, it would, but I don't figure that my prayers are that enlightening or... full of the Spirit, that it would be uplifting to everyone else. I figure people would, they're tired, especially if they were standing. They would get tired standing. Then they get to thinking about their feet hurting and everything else. And so we have to keep that in mind too. So with regard to public prayers, I just throw that out for what it's worth. But I want us to see all these scriptures where Paul talks about he's praying for all of these people everywhere at all times. But that doesn't mean that he's always mentioning everyone in each and every prayer that he made. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul again said in verse 3, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. So, he thanked God always for them. Well, he's always thinking, you know, it's kind of like this, I guess. I say, Brother Jeff, are you going to work this week? Well, I always do, don't I? Well, there's some weeks he may not. He might take a vacation. In other words, we read and we talk. We talk that way and we read the Bible. We need to read the Bible that way. Always. We always go to work. We always get up. We always eat breakfast. We always do this. We have our regular routines. We have our schedules. And we haven't stopped. It's like Samuel said to Saul. This is in 1 Samuel 12:23. And talking about Israel, he said, God forbid that I should cease praying for you. God forbid that I should cease praying for you. And you can pray for people on a regular occasion. It may not be every day. It may not be every week. It may be from time to time that you pray for various individuals at various times. And you have been doing that off and on for years, and you can say that I haven't stopped praying for you. I continually pray for you. You say, well, how do we know whether we're not doing enough? Well, I figured by just studying the Scriptures will give you enough indication of that, and God will let you know. And I figure most of us can say that we can improve in our prayer life. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in his first epistle in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Well, that doesn't mean that every idle moment that you ought to be spending in prayer. Our Lord even told His disciples on one occasion, come aside and let us rest a spell. Come aside and let us rest a spell. But don't stop praying either. Don't even stop praying for your enemies. Now, in light of praying, look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And verse 8. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Now, if we weren't careful, we would say, you know what? Paul worked all day and all night. But he didn't. Any more than he prayed all day and all night. He couldn't pray all day and be working at the same time. He was a tent maker, you know. And he had to focus on where to thread the needle and where to put the needle in to make the tents. Or maybe he was weaving material to make the tents. Don't know how he made those tents at that time. You know, he lived with Aquila and Priscilla for a while because they were the same occupation with him. In fact, it says so there in Acts 18. And he talked about that he labored with his hands, working with his hands. He was working night and day. He's praying always. He prayed always in every prayer of his. Did not cease. And you put those two together and you say, now wait a minute. How could Paul do all of that? Same way we do. We work day and night. Doesn't mean that we always work all day and doesn't always work all night. But we work day and night. We work in the daytime. We work in the nighttime. We pray in the daytime. We pray in the nighttime. But it doesn't mean that we're always doing all of it on all occasions. So what I'm wanting to do, you say, well, you've proven your point. I just want to make sure that I'm proving my point, that we don't get the idea that we're to be something of a prayer warrior, that we're not, when maybe we are praying as God would have us to. And maybe we're not. I don't know that. I can't be the judge of that. You and the Lord can be the judge of that. But I don't want to put a burden on the saints that God hasn't put. And yet at the same time, I believe all of us can say that we can grow in His prayer and in praying. Like I said, I don't mean to say by this that Paul did not pray much or that he prayed like we do. Yes, Paul, I believe, was indeed a man much in prayer, and we are to be more like him. We need to look at the verses that are presented in more detail and study them to learn more about how to pray and to seek the Lord more in prayer as this beloved apostle did. He prayed for the saints, and he prayed for those saints at Ephesus. And while he was in prison, while Paul was in prison, remember what he said in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, in verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Paul was in jail for his faith. But he didn't say, I therefore, the prisoner of Caesar. He was the prisoner of the Lord. Paul knew that God had put him where he was. And so Paul didn't sit down and say, well, I've been trying to be faithful to the Lord. I've been trying to do this and I've been trying to do that. And look where it got me. Here I am in jail. I'm wasting away. My talent's not being used. And why did God allow this to happen? And so Paul prayed. You remember what happened to Paul and Silas when they got thrown in jail in Philippi? What happened at midnight? They were singing and praying. They were singing and praying. I wonder what I would do if I were put in jail for my faith. I hope by God's grace, it'd have to be by God's grace, but I would hope by God's grace I would be singing and praying. And I hope I would be praying for the saints that are not only in jail with me, but those that are out. And that their faith is being spoken of throughout the whole world. I would hope that I would be able to, if possible, maybe write some letters to people and encourage them. You know, Paul didn't say, well, here I am and I've been having a bad day and my spirits have been down and I want you to pray for me and I just don't know what to do and I'm ready to throw up my hands and I just want to give up and I'm just not in good shape and I need your prayers. And that's probably what I'd be doing, you know, without the grace of God. Paul said, I thank God for you. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. As I think about you and your faith and your faithfulness to God, as I think about your love to all the saints, I just thank God. I thank God for what He has done. And Paul, while he was there in that jail, and we've already covered it, I know, but back in the verse 3, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Paul's in jail. Paul's in jail for his faith. And he said, I praise God. I just bless God for what all He's done for me and what all He's doing for me. I praise God to hear this sovereign God. He put me in this place. And what did He write to the Ephesian saints? Turn back with me there again. Well, I'm looking for that passage where he said, oh yeah, verse 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. I'm in jail for my faith, but you know what? This has spread the gospel further, so that my bonds in Christ, because Caesar's got me in jail, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Nero may have been the Caesar, but the faith of the gospel was spread throughout all his palace by the Apostle Paul being in prison. Paul wasn't in the palace, he was in the prison. But by being in the prison, the gospel was spread in the palace. Only God can do such things. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Hallelujah. What a God. And Paul, because of his knowledge that we're going to get to later on in Ephesians, but because of his knowledge of God, he was blessed to have a spirit of praise and devotion and reverence to God in the midst of being in the prison. And if where they showed me and where I stood in 1972 in Rome, if that was the prison that Paul was in, it would take up maybe a fourth of this space here, maybe closer to a little bit less. It seemed like it was maybe about, I don't know, it's hard for me to guess, I get something like 10 or 12 feet in diameter in a circle. Very small, crowded place. They told there was a door in the side of one of the walls. They told us that when the prison got full, see, at that time it wasn't a stairway for people to walk down in like it was for us that day. It was just a hole in the ceiling. And they dropped the prisoners down in it. And when the prison got too full and they couldn't put any more in, they opened that door and it flooded in from the Tiber River and killed everybody. That's how they had a cleansing of the prison. They didn't let them go free. They didn't let them be illegal aliens. They got rid of them. Small. No heat. No air condition, no bunks, no beds. And from that hallowed place, came forth Philippians Colossians. Ephesians. Philemon. We assume it would have been called, if it had been preserved, Laodiceans. The epistle to the Laodiceans. And can you imagine if there were soldiers in earshot? Somebody had to be in earshot for the gospel to get through all the palace. They heard Paul praying. They heard Paul praising God. Paul had some skins upon which he could write, or some papyri, or something of that nature. When he was in there, he wrote to Timothy and said, "Bring me my robe. It's cold in this place, need it for winter. Bring me the books." Paul had other books he read. He had a library. I'm sure it wasn't hundreds of books, probably two or three or something. So bring me my books, but especially the parchments, the scriptures. As he wrote to the Ephesians, as we'll get to in the sixth chapter if we continue on, he said, "Pray that I may open my mouth boldly to speak the gospel." That's the only request that I can think of that he asked for. The Philippians had sent him money on more than one occasion. He said, "I thank God for the money, not because for me, but what it's done and how it manifests the grace in you. That it's a sweet offering poured out before God. But as for me, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content. I'm content here. I'm content here. This is where God would have me to be." What did we read there in Ephesians? In the bonds of Christ. In the bonds of Christ. I'm in jail. I'm in God's jail. I'm in the condition. I'm where God would have me to be. And so Paul prays for these saints in that condition, not for himself. And he didn't brag on the saints, he bragged on God. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, in that prayer he prayed to God, the Father of glory. Notice what he says there. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Paul prayed to God. Remember what our Lord said in John 16:23. He said, "In that day ye shall ask me nothing. Ask my Father." Paul prayed to the Father. He prayed for the saints. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. I think Pink pointed out in his Gleanings from Paul two other passages in Scripture where it talks about not only the Father of glory, but the Lord of glory in another passage, and the Spirit of glory in another passage, showing the uniting of the Trinity in the glory. Of course, I forgot the books that they were in. I just remember reading that. Well, Lord willing, next time we'll try to get more specifically into that the God of glory would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. May give you wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Let's pray. Father, we have much wherein we can grow in our prayers. I thank You, Father, for Your work in the Apostle Paul to give us the example that You have of this beloved Apostle. He was so filled with a love for the saints, and he was so set for the defense of the faith of the gospel that when he's in jail, his time was spent in honoring You as well as seeking for the advancement of the gospel and to encourage the saints. Give us such a spirit. And when we ask for such a spirit, we are immediately reminded of many of the hardships, many of the trials and the afflictions that Paul endured, no doubt for You to chip away at this stone, to make it the polished stone that it was, as it was incarcerated in that prison, after he too had learned to be content. Yet we thank You that You have given us liberty to pray, lead us not into temptation, to deliver us from evil, and grant us to be able to lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Thank You for being who You are. Thank You for Your eternal existence. Thank You that You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there is no vacillating with You. May the day come soon when we can render praise to You that would be far more acceptable than it is now for who You are. In Christ we pray. Amen.